Well, we have the opportunity and the privilege of being here at Greek Club. We've got the machine on, so that means everybody has to pay attention. Actually, you don't have to pay attention at all, just don't snore very loudly. Today we are broadcasting from Hope Tower here on the campus of Concordia Seminary. We look to the east. I don't know if Christ will appear in the east. Do you think, Brad or Dan, do you have a view on that? Well, no, that's right. It'll be like when lightning flashes from the east to the west, right? And I'm very excited when you have low expectations in life the way I do. A little things excite you. We are, I think, going to finish off the letter to the Hebrews today. Summer classes are back in session, and so the basic rule of thumb is when there's summer classes meeting, we'll have Greek Club, and when there's not, we won't. So. And we are in Hebrews 13, and I think that after today we'll just pick right on up with 2 Corinthians. I've had several suggestions in that regard. I am aware that there's a section of text in 2 Corinthians, I think it's in chapter 1 or 2 early on, where there are 23 words in a row without a verb. So I'm very happy about that. And we'll come to that in due course. But we're just going to finish off, I think the technical term for this last part of Hebrews is, it's called the chatty section, where we're going to start at chapter 13, verse 18, because we got through 17, says, obey those who lead you and be subject, for they themselves keep watch concerning over your lives as those who are giving an account, in order that with joy they may do this and not groaning, for this to you is unprofitable. So that's verse 17. So verse 18 is not too bad, although there's some interesting little tidbits here. And as always with the writer to the Hebrews, just when you think you've got it down, you have to look something up. But that's good for us. So verse 18 would read something like this. Pros eukasta peri hemon, peithamatha gar hati kalein sin edesin ekamen, and pasin kolos thelantas anastrephestai. So, first verb, of course, is just from our friend pros eukamai. I don't know if the simple verb eukamai actually ever occurs in the New Testament. I think it's usually the compound verb. Of course, it means to pray. And this could be an indicative, but of course, in this context, it's an imperative. So, y'all pray about us. For, and here's why they're to pray. Patho, as you know, means to persuade, to be persuaded. Here works well. For we are convinced that we have a kalein synedesin, a good conscience. Now, I'm not entirely sure why that's the reason why they should pray. Chaplain Roop, welcome to Greek Club. That's nice to see you here instead of on some aircraft carrier in the middle of the Persian Gulf. For we are persuaded that we have a good conscience. And now we have a participial construction, right? Thelantes. And the masculine plural nominative participle, the referent would be the we of we are persuaded. Ryan, we're in chapter 13, verse 18. Literally, or woodenly, wanting to behave, anastrephomai, it's not deponent, anastrepho, in the passive, means to be turned, and that is then to behave or to conduct oneself, if we could say it that way. So how shall we take this participle? Because we wish to conduct ourselves well in every way? Is this why we have a good conscience? Is it as we, it's a little difficult to know what the precise force of that predicate position participle thelantes might be. So if we take a running start, pray for us, for we are convinced that we have a good conscience, because we wish to conduct ourselves well in regard to everything or in every good way. I'm not sure how to take it. I suspect the English translations probably just weasel it, you know. But so far, verse 18. Questions, suggestions on that participle. I actually puzzled over it a little bit. While, although, none of them really seems to nestle all that well in the context. Jim, you got an idea on that? Okay. So we have a good conscience wishing to. Okay. So you just kind of attach it more closely to the main verb with echo. Okay. All right. That's a possibility as well. So, again, sometimes we ask these questions, but the context doesn't provide too strong of an answer. So, but grammatically, that's not too hard. So we'll just press on to verse 19. Parasoteros de parakalo tuta poiesai hina takean apakatastatho humin. Verse 19, de is post-positive, you'll recall. And I beseech, I exhort. Parasoteros is an adverb. It's built off of a comparative, parasateras. So more abundantly, more perhaps even more urgently in this context. And I exhort this to do. I personally could wish for the pronoun humas, the accusative pronoun. I exhort you to do this, but in context it's pretty clear. More abundantly, in order that. Now, takean, I had to look up. It's actually a comparative form from takus, more quickly. Yeah, right. In order that, more quickly. Now, apokatastatho is from apokathisteme, or the BDAG lexicon actually gives you this simplified verb that has come into existence, apokathistano. So yeah, the me verbs are too hard and too irregular, and so sometimes they get simplified, you know, in Hellenistic Greek. Now, the very cool thing about this, which doesn't matter at all, so I'm happy to point it out, is that when you get a double compound verb like this, in the indicative mood, you get two augments sometimes. So apokathistemi, the indicative would be op e kat e stathain, right? And because this is a subjunctive, you take both of the augments out. So this will help save the church. This is the kind of knowledge that really counts when it comes, you know, when push comes to shove in ministry, is does a verb have a double augment? So, but we don't actually care about reality, which is why we're doing Greek Club, right?
Here I stand, I can do no other.
Here I stand, I can parse no other. That's right. That's right. This is actually the aorist indicative passive. And remember that aorist subjunctive passive. You remember that the subjunctives take active endings, and the circumflex actually reminds us that the aorist passive subjunctive forms act like epsilon contract verbs, right? So the corresponding form for luo, the sixth principal part of luo, would be eluthane. The aorist subjunctive passive first singular would be lutho, right, with a circumflex. Then it would go lutho, luthes, luthei, right? And this is just, I got a lot of stuff on the front, apokatastatho. So aorist subjunctive passive, and it's a purpose clause. It's a henna clause, right? And apokathistano means to restore, and so all that leads to the translation, in order that more quickly I might be restored to you, plural. So that was our morphology drill for the day, and now we can move on, I think, unless there are questions or comments, to verse 20. Very exciting. We have an optative in verse 20. So it just gets better and better. Okay, verse 20. Ha deth haastes eirenes, ha an agagon ek nekron ton poimena, ton probaton, ton megan en haimeta diathekes aioniu, ton kirion hamon iezun. I guess we'll keep going. kat artisai hemas en panti agatho esta poiesai ta thelema autu. Poion en hemin ta euraristan enopian autu. Dia Jesu Christu. Ho he doxa es tus ionas ton ionon. Everybody's favorite word. Amen. Now, easy enough at the beginning, God is the subject, hatheos, right? The verb is actually the first word in verse 21. And it's from kat artizo, which means to prepare or restore or equip. And to the unsuspecting reader, this looks like an aorist infinitive active, like lousai. The only difference in our modern critical editions is the accent mark. If this were an infinitive, it would have, well, who, does anybody happen to know? Where would the accent be if this were an infinitive, and what would the accent be? Kat artisai. It would actually be, I know because I'm really smart, and I looked it up earlier to make sure. It would be a circumflex. It would actually be over the yoda. Yeah. It would be kat artisai with a circumflex, I think. And because it has an acute accent, this is actually an optative. This is aorist, optative, active, third singular. Don't give me that Latvian frown, Gunters. That's right. Yeah, no, it's an optative. It's expressing a wish. So, may the God of peace equip you. So that's the basic structure of this verse. May the God of peace equip you. So then we back up and we describe the God of peace. Right? Brian?
Right. No, I'm just thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Thinking in Greek.
Oh, good for you. That's good. It's easier when you're on the third floor. Closer to heaven?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, that's the kind of thing. So may the God of peace, which one? The one who anagod. This is the aorist participle active. Yeah, it's the third principal part is anagagon, who led up out of the dead people, and whom did he lead up? The shepherd of the sheep. Which one? The great one. The great shepherd of the sheep. And in connection with... I couldn't make... By? Was Jesus raised from the dead by the blood of the eternal covenant? This is the way it's often translated. This doesn't make any sense to me. With? Because of? Remember, end with the dative is very flexible, right? I'm wondering if it has a causal sense. So since I'm doing Greek club, that's the way we'll take it, without, like, you know, swearing an oath to that or something. Or we could just go in connection with the blood of the covenant. Which one? The eternal covenant, the one that extends into the age to come. Now let's put in apposition to shepherd more about this one who was led up, the Lord of us, and now we'll get... You know, the writer to the Hebrews likes the simple name Jesus. And I don't know anything about orality, but I just wonder if you're listening, and finally you get the name Jesus. See? So may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the shepherd of the sheep, the great shepherd of the sheep, because of, in connection with the blood of the eternal covenant, our Lord, finally the name, Jesus, may this God equip you, again, kat artisai is aorist, optative, active, in connection with every good thing. Now, ace, ta, plus the infinitive expresses, use sometimes result, probably here purpose. In order, again, I want there, to be honest, I want there to be an accusative pronoun as the subject, but it's understood from the earlier humas. In order that you do, presumably, the will of him, as, and we'll take this poion, the referent would actually be God, all the way back at the beginning, for this predicate position participle. And it makes sense to me, at least, to give this kind of a temporal translation. As he does in connection with us, the good pleasing thing, ta eo ariston, before him, through Jesus Christ, dative relative pronoun, to whom, supply the verb, be the glory into the ages of ages. Amen. So it's a fairly long sentence. The writer didn't want to let us off the hook. He's been fairly short, you know, for a couple of chapters now. Questions, comments about anything at all, like what's that letter? Or how come the air conditioning isn't working today? Or whatever. Well, that's true. That's true. That's true. But you don't see that many optatives in the New Testament. You know, the most common one is Paul's expression, me genoita, right? Interestingly, you see a couple in 1 Thessalonians. There's some optatives there. But
could you go through that thing again about blood?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure how to take it. Yeah. Well, what's, and my question is, what sense does that make? He raised Jesus by the blood of the eternal covenant. What does that mean? No. By means of?
No.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, which is why Hebrews is anti-legomena. Oops, sorry, that was my Chloe imitation. Sorry. Yeah, so I wonder if it's just a more general sense of in connection with, or even if it's because he raised him because.
Let's raise the author from the dead and ask him. That would be the best.
Okay, we'll have to ask him in Greek.
Right. So let him.
Yeah, Jim can do it. Yeah. Right.
Well,
in the resurrection of the dead, we'll all speak Greek.
That's
right. That's right. That's right. It's like those ancient people in Rome were so smart. They could all speak Latin, right? Okay. Yes, indeed. Yeah, Brad?
How did you translate that again?
Well, maybe as he does, while he does, or something like
that.
Oh, well, yeah, well, I think that's probably the eista poiesi, right? In order that you may do his will, but it's as, and how does it run ESV after that point in the verse 21?
Working in us, okay, that's what you're...
There God is the one who's working, yeah. It actually reminds me, now that we're talking about it, you get the both and of us doing and God doing in Philippians 2. Right, work out your salvation, for God is the one who is at work both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. In Dr. Veltz's terms, there you get both Einstein and Newton in the same sentence, where the Christian life is obviously an active, busy life, and yet all of the credit, all of the glory, let's hear it for the bondage of the will, goes to God, both for our justification and ultimately also for our sanctification. Yeah, so it's good to be Lutheran. Yeah. So. Okay, very good. Okay, it gets pretty easy after this point, because I look stuff up. That's why it's easy. Verse 22. Parakaloda himas adolfoi an ekista tu lagu tes paraklesios kai gar diabrakaon ep estela humin. And I exhort, or I encourage you, brothers. Looks like a nominative, but of course in context it's functioning as a vocative form. Now, I always have to look up the echo compound verbs. An echo means bear with or endure, or an echo my, actually. Bear with. Is he asking him to put up with what he's just written? And aneko takes a genitive direct object. So bear with the word of exhortation. And I think scholars pretty much uniformly, he's referring to what they've just heard, right? So Hebrews is simply a word of exhortation, right? Or an exhorting word, if we could take it that way. For, also or even, through little or through a few words, presumably, ep estela, I wrote, I have epistolized to you. This is from epistello, which we don't, I mean, we know apostello as New Testament. This is from epistello, which means to write an epistle or just to write. So I want to say, if this is a short writing, if this is a few, I'd hate to see what the writer would be like if he got really cranked up.
Right? He's got no TV, he's got time.
That's right. No TV, he has time. That's right. No, yeah. Yeah, I think the Celtics and the Lakers are playing tonight. Right. So, true God-pleasing basketball versus the West Coast. Sorry. Just okay. Let's go on to verse. Anything on 22? Pretty straightforward, right? 23. Another ambiguous form. I think normally translated here this time as an indicative. Genoskete ton adolphan hemon temathean apa le lumenon methu eon takeon erchetai opsamai humas. You know the brother of us, Timothy. Now, a participle trails along behind. This is from apoluo, which means to dismiss. It can actually mean to divorce, right? Or it's sometimes here taken to mean release, like he was in jail. Now, again, that's reading into the context, but given, you know, the first century, who knows? So the question is, how do we take this participle? Since it's following right after Timothy, which does not have an article, it's anarthrous, we could just take it as adjectival, right? And that's probably the easiest way to do it. You know the brother of us, Timothy, who has been and is still in a released condition, since it's a perfect participle passive. And now let's describe Timothy, with whom, if he comes more quickly, I will see you. So whoever the writer is, he's writing obviously from a distance, and he's planning to visit the addressees, whoever exactly they are. These are eisegetical questions, the answers to which we don't have. The plan is that Timothy and the writer to the Hebrews are supposed to meet up, and if it works out, which it doesn't always, they'll meet up together and visit with the congregation there. So, and the verb erchetai is subjunctive just because it's in that. It's almost a parenthetical if clause that's inserted there. It's just part of the conditional sentence, of course. Okay, and then quickly to the end. Is it raining outside?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Another imperative, verse 25. Aspasis theopontas tus hegumenus humon kai pontas tus hagius. Aspasantai humas hoi apates italeas. Hecaris meth ponton humon. End of letter. So aspasamai means to greet or sometimes to take leave of, say farewell. But here in the reverse sense, I think. So y'all greet all those who lead or rule over you, with the genitive object after hegeomai, the participle there, and greet all the saints. Then subject, those from Italy are greeting you. So presumably the writer's in Italy, or he's with a bunch of Italians, if I could use an anachronistic term, right? So. And then finally, the grace be, supply the verb, with all y'all. He ends on a kind of a Texan note, Jim. All y'all. Yeah, that's good. So, and thus the letter to the Hebrews. So we have endured to the end, so to speak. And next week we will begin with 2 Corinthians, and that should be an interesting read. So, and thank you very much.